Kof Zayin Mao Cheshvan, Monday the 12th of November, Rabbi Sholem Segal, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you. Good morning. I take no credit for the title. It's actually Dudi Iskovitz provided the title for this year. I was speaking to a solicitor, and he said, I told him I was planning to speak about the halachos of speaking the truth, when it's mutter to lie, and being a typical solicitor, he said to me, what do you mean? There's situations when you can't lie. He said that perhaps it would be advisable before the shir to recommend any solicitors, maybe this is not a shir for you, now is the time to leave. I see no one's admitting to it, at least. When looking in, Parashas Toldos, what to speak about, was asked to speak something more towards halacha rather than agoda. We notice, obviously, that something that stands out is this this meeting between Yaakov and Yitzchok when he goes into his father and he says, Anochi Esav b'chayrecha, and according to Rashi, how Yaakov pushes himself to the nth degree to try and maintain some degree of emes. Anochi, I am who I am, and Esav b'chayrecha, and Esav is your b'char. Dainu, even when it's permitted to lie, he pushed himself as far as he could to maintain as much of the emes as he could. The emes, if you look through Sefer Bereishis, it's quite amazing how much of this Sefer you find time through Sedra after Sedra, you find lies going on. Sometimes in the case of Heter, sometimes cases of Issa. Just let's, for example, Parashas Lech Lecha. Avram says to Sarah, Imri Ochihu, tell Paro, tell the Mitzrayim that I'm your brother. It wasn't a complete lie there, but it was a lie nonetheless. It fooled Paro, it was Ganeva's Das. Then we find with you go into Parshas Vayera, you've got in Parshas Vayera, you've got with the Avimelech, but then you've got in Parshas Vayera, you've got HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes, although Sarah Imenu, she said that Vadoni Zokain, that my husband, he's become old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that she said Vani Zokamti because of Darchi Shalom. Then you go into Parshas Chayei Sarah, we've got Eliezer who changes the order when he recounts the events in the house of Asuel. He changes the order again so that they shouldn't think he was mad. How could he offer the jewelry for marriage to somebody who didn't even know her family lineage yet? And then we come to Parshas Toldos, we've got Yaakov saying, Anochi Esav b'chayrecha. But the truth is there's something else in Parshas Toldos, also a very, very powerful lesson. And that is right at the end of this week's Sedra. Towards the end, it says, Vayishlach Yitzchok es Yaakov, that Yitzchok sent Yaakov after Esau was threatening to kill him, Vayilach Padan Aram, and he went to Padan Aram, El Lavan, Ben Besuel Arami, Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka, Eim Yaakov Esau. The brother of Yaakov and Esau, says Rashi. The mother of Yaakov and Esau, says Rashi, Eini Yodea Maman Amdenu. I don't know what this is coming to teach us. We don't know that she was the mother of Yaakov and Esau. So many ask then, if Rashi doesn't know, then keep quiet. If you don't know what it's saying, so you don't need to say so. And although the Maskil of David gives a beautiful pshat, that's not what Rashi's saying. The posh pshat is Rashi is telling us. I don't know what this is teaching us. And the reason why Rashi says it is, because once again, this is a limit in emes. I heard that the Chasanish said, this is one of the biggest, the most important Rashi's in this week's Sedra. He teaches us what the Gemara says in Brachos, Lomid l'shencha loima eini yedeya. Teach your tongue, it's a limud. Teach your tongue to say, Eini yodea, shemot tisvada v'tiyachis. Teach your tongue to be able to say, Eini yodea. Don't fool others and just by sort of keeping it very vague and uncommitted, by keeping quiet that you know what it's talking about. On his level, he felt that he didn't know and therefore he said, Eini yodea. Turning towards the, as I said, the halacha, the halachic side, I thought, well, I know of a few gemaras which we could base certain things on. But then I saw a teshuva of the Shailas Teshuvah's Torah Lishma, somebody who lived in the 19th century, I think from Baghdad, a Gadol, and he was asked to list cases where it's mutter to lie. And he writes that he says, I'm not going to do that for you, I'll give you a whole list of places in Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, where we find that Tanoim, Amoroim, they changed from the strict truth. And he lists there over 40 places he goes through, And he says, I'm not going to take, so to speak, I'm not going to take the achrayas to tell you what is, what's not, what is allowed, what is not. You learn up the Gemaras and see what you come out with. But he says, be careful. Be careful not to stretch it, be medama milsa la milsa, and come to wrong conclusions. When I saw that, I thought, I'm not going to take the achrayas to try and decide what is muta, what's not muta. We know the severity, misal halacha, misal the musa, if a person changes one iota from the truth, how damaging it can be. I did find a sefer called Nivsvasayim from somebody called Rav Nachum Yavrov from Eretz Yisrael. He's perhaps better known for his Sforim Divrei Sofrim, the big blue Sforim on Ribbis, I think he's got on Shchita, now on Shabbos. He's got on various Sforim. He wrote some 20, 30 years, I think, even ago, sefer on this topic. It's more of a contrast on this topic. And he really, you can see, he's gone to town there. He brings very, very solid sources for everything he says. And I'm picking out, really, maybe it's based on that sefer. I've added one or two other things, but it's based on that sefer. And but again, what I picked out from the sefer is where he's brought sources for it, not his own chiddush, not because I doubt what he says, but I'm not going to take achrayas unless there is... He's brought the sources for it. By way of introduction, the Torah obviously says, Midvar Sheker Tirchok, that one should distance himself from falsehood. The Pasuk's actually talking about Dayonim. It's talking about, it's in the parasha of Dayonim, of Judges. And there's very, very much discussion as to whether this can be extrapolated and applied to, generally, to other people. Is this the source of Isra to lie? Some say yes. Some say no. Some say it's an Issa Darabonon. Some say actually there's no Issa whatsoever. It's nothing more than a bad middah. It's a very, very bad middah. As the Shari Teshuvah says, the person's called Matur, he's abominable for it. But either way, it's a bad middah. It's definitely forbidden. And this applies whether, even if a person says something which can be interpreted in two ways, Chassam Sofer says that's also complete sheker. To miss out details which could therefore change the whole understanding is also sheker. The Rambam says this. What about to mix in? You know, it's 99% true, but a bit of sheker in that is also sheker. It's also sheker, as they say. If it's not MS, it's sheker. Or somebody told me yesterday, if it's 99% truth, it's 100% sheker. But it's... Even writing something down is also sheker. If it's wrong, it's sheker. And even just Bederek Remes. I didn't say anything. People say, I didn't fool him. I didn't say anything. He just... That's also... Just a hint at anything which gives the wrong impression is also sheker. But perhaps here's a big chiddush. Until now, maybe that may have been posh to you. But also to listen to sheker. Just to listen to sheker is also awesome. If you hear somebody telling the something which you realize is sheker, as the Gemara says in the Ketubot, you've been given two fingers, your ear's been shaped in just the right shape for your two fingers, or to be able to put your fingers into your ears, you're not allowed to listen to sheker either. And this we learn from Hilchos Lashon Hara. The Issa to be Mekabel Lashon Hara is actually based on the Issa because of Sheker. The Chinuch says this. It's based on Sheker. And therefore, it's they learn out from here that also just to listen to Sheker like Lashon Hara, if there's no reason to listen to the Sheker, it's forbidden as well. One last point. As we said, you'll notice the whole of, as I said, Sefer Bereishis is filled with this idea of sheker, when it's mutter, when it's osur. And this is because Sefer Bereishis is really the yesodus. This is the chinuch, this is the inauguration of the world we have today. And Chazal tell us the importance when it comes to children, to be mechanich them, to educate them in the importance of emes. I once saw from a non-Jewish expert, supposed expert in education, in children, and he says parents get very, very excited. They think the world's coming to an end when their child lies. He says it's only natural for children to lie. He says the world's not coming to an end, it's not so terrible, calm down. But we know that's only because, got to be careful what I say, you've got to be politically correct, but let's put it this way. We know that She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla. We're a people of MS. And therefore for us, the yesodus, we have to be the foundations, the chinuch right from the start has to be based on emes. He's right, the world's not coming to an end. But it's extremely important that the children are brought up with this, middah is inculcated into their very, from the youngest age, that they can understand it. Geneva Das Also another Hakdoma, Genevas Das, is also forbidden. Genevas Das means to lead people astray. If I give somebody, if I give somebody the wrong impression as a result of that, he thinks I've done him the greatest favor and he's forever indebted to me. That's the classic case of Genevas Das. For example, the Shulchan Aruch says, if somebody comes along and I've got something to sell him, and I know that it's got certain things, which certain blemishes, it's not quite in perfect, tip-top condition. But he thinks I'm selling him something which is in tip-top condition. The way the Lechem Chamudas understands it is, even if I sell it to him, I don't overcharge him. And most definitely, even if I don't overcharge him, Kadei Ono, that still goes into Genevas Das, because he thinks he's got the most amazing bargain here, he thinks he's got the most amazing thing here, an object which is perfect, in perfect condition. That's Genevas Das. And that applies even to a goy. One's not allowed to be Genev Das even of a goy. Again, what's the source for this? Is it Doraisa? Is it Darabonon? Is it from Lo Signobu? Is it from Lo Sonu Ish Samiso? What's this learned from? Again, is much debated. But again, it's definitely awesome. What about if it's not to do with sales? Let's say it's to do with giving somebody a present. Again, I know this person's not going to take the present. But I know if I offer him the present, I push him, please take the present, he's going to think, what, this guy really likes me. I know full well he's not going to take it. That's also Genevas Das. But that only applies to a yid. To a goy, there's no problem in that. Let's take perhaps a more classic example. A person knows, when it comes to making a simcha, he's got a limited number of places, limited number of people he can invite to the simcha. But there's certain people he knows that he has to invite. He doesn't really want them to come. But he gets very excited when he hears they're going to be on holiday at the time. So he sends them, gives them an invitation in the post. Full well, RSVP, he knows he's already counted them out. He's very upset if they actually rearrange the holiday for, and they come along and say, we've done it especially. Is that mutter, is it also? So again, if you look at Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it's absolutely Genevas Das. Because you know full well that you don't really want him to come. So the truth is the Sma says it's only the Loshon is lo yisarhi. You're not allowed to press him because the guy really thinks he really wants me to come. But if you're just once or twice, just so that he shouldn't be nispata, people are going to think, why wasn't this guy invited to the simcha? Why doesn't he want, he's not being invited to come and eat in this person's house. It's going to be a bizoy and it's going to cause a disgrace to that person. Then that already the Sma says is allowed. As I said, I'm suggesting based on that, although I said I'm not saying anything on my end today, but perhaps based on that, it would seem that's where it comes from, that to send an invitation, again, you don't have to write in there, please do come, rearrange your holiday, just by way of that, to show that you're not trying to be mavaza him, that you shouldn't be broigus afterwards, and people shouldn't think, why wasn't he invited? Perhaps that would be mutta based on this sama. There are certain other details, but we'll sort of just keep it to the general kanon, and there are certain details. For example, I'll just give you one example. The case the Gemara talks about, if I go out, I'm walking in the road, and somebody thinks I've come to meet him. Right, you go to the airport, and somebody comes and says, oh, that's so nice of you to come and meet me. I didn't come to meet him, I've actually come to meet somebody else. Am I mechuyav to tell him, actually, I didn't really come to meet you? So again, it's Genevas Das, you'd say. It's Genevas Das. He thinks he's going to say, wow, this person really likes me. He's my best friend. He's going to feel indebted to you. He has to give you a favor in the future. So again, the first point is, did I lead him astray? Is this something which he should have realized for himself? It was quite clear. I mean, as surprised as he is, there's a good reason why he's for his surprise. Of course I wasn't. See, he led himself astray. Then I'm not mechuyev to tell him. Again, as I said, there are certain other details, but that sort of gives us a little bit of a picture. Just one perhaps very pertinent halacha is, let's say somebody, they give him a azar kovod, they say, this person, his mamash, he's a boki and shas. He knows that he's only a boki and half of shas. Is he mechuyev to speak up? So again, Sushari Teshuvah, based on the Yerushalmi, says he is. If he says, no, actually, I'm not. But he's mechuyev to do that. But once they say, we know you're just joking, and they sort of indicate, we're not interested in what you've got to say, he's not mechuyev to say anything more than that. Once he's attempted, he's made the attempt, he's made it known that I don't know as much as you think I know, he's done his part, that's enough. Let's speak in brief about the various cases. As I said, this is the main So the thrust of the shi is, when is it mutter, when is it permitted to lie? The first heter, I think perhaps the most well known, is because of shalom, in order to preserve peace. So Gemara in Yevamos, there's a mitzvah, we learn our Kodesh Baruch, as we said in Parshas Vayera, in order to preserve the shalom bias between Avraham and Sarah, change the truth. We also learn it from Aaron HaKohen as well, Ohev Shalom, Rediv Shalom, also the same idea. However, there are three important conditions that have to be fulfilled before you actually go ahead. Number one, some say not. But some say you can only lie about the past. You can't lie about the present or the future in order to preserve peace. That's condition number one. Some argue, the Mishnah Berurah leaves it, Sarachim. Says maybe yes, maybe no. He's uncommitted on that one. Some say only about the past can you lie. Condition number two. Some say you can't say an outright lie. All you can say is you could be very vague and say something which could be interpreted in two ways and leave it to him to misinterpret your words. But once again, there are those who argue. And in this case, the Chofetz Chaim is makel. In Sefer Chofetz Chaim, in Hilchos Rechilus, he's makel there. He says, you can, if necessary, you can say an outright lie in order to preserve peace. But again, it's always advisable, if you can, avoid lying completely. Avoid as much as you can. That's condition number two. It's only when it's absolutely necessary. And condition number three is also subject to machloekas, because some say you can't do it on a consistent basis. A once-off, that's allowed. But to do it on a long-term basis, that's against, some argue, some say not. Let's give an example, besides the classic example, shalom bayis. It doesn't have to be between husband and wife. They say it's mutter, if you see your kids are about to, you know, there's about to be an eruption there between the kids, they're arguing, again, you can be mishane, you can say your brother didn't really do what you thought he did. Again, it's about the past. I can see there's no other way to settle this argument. And I'm doing it as a one-off. Normally these brothers, they get on, you know, just fine. So then, that, they say, would be mutter. Kol shekein, if it's to save Chilul Hashem, obviously that goes without saying, that is 100% mutter, to change from the emes in order to preserve the kavod of Hashem. That's the heter because of shalom. There's then a much wider heter perhaps, and that is the ones allowed to lie in order, and again, all the conditions, the previous condition must be fulfilled here as well. But one would be allowed to lie in order to be mekayim a mitzvah, or to withhold oneself from doing an aveira. Whether with regard to himself or to others. Okay, there are certain protein to this, but let's just talk about a few examples. Just to pick out some perhaps more interesting shaydas, which the post can speak about. There was a Talmud. Sometimes people want to do shimush by a rov. They want to know what a rov would, what he would paskin about a certain shaydah, but they know this rov will only answer him if it's actually negeya halacha l'maisa. So if you go along to this rov and you say, I've got a theoretical shaida, he's not going to answer you. Are you allowed to go along to him and pretend this is actually a real life shaida which is pertinent today? And the post can say, it's based on Yerushalmi, absolutely, there's no problem whatsoever. Even though the rov wouldn't be too happy if he finds out, it doesn't matter. This is, Torah hi, I need to know the halacha, you're allowed to lie for that. Another shaida. The Torah Lishmo was asked the following shayla. There was a case like this. There was a daughter who went off the derech. And when her father died, she threatened that she was going to take the case to the Goyisha court, because in the Goyisha court she knew she would get, you know, equality, she'd get an equal part in the Yerusha, in the inheritance. But as we know, normally it goes to the sons. So the question was put to the Torah Lishmo, am I allowed to write, forge a shtar, as if there was a shtar, a document, the will written from the father, saying explicitly that I'm giving over my property to my sons? And the answer he gave was an unequivocal yes, it's 100% mutter, because with this we're validating the kayach of the Beis Din, and therefore it's 100% mutter. He proves it from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where the Ma'aymin al-Aidim, they used to tell the Aidim to lie about when the moon had been seen, because the Beis Din saw a need in order to be Ma'abed the month or not to be Ma'abed the month, whichever way it may have been. So they would tell the Edom either to say they have seen the moon, or Edom which had seen the moon, tell them to keep quiet. In other words, it actually tell the Edom to lie in order to uphold what the Beis Din saw as a necessity. So he says that's 100% mutter. The obvious condition is that it won't lead to Chilul Hashem. If it's going to be, if there's a risk that it will be discovered, then obviously Sheva Atasa Odif don't get involved. A very interesting shaida is like this. A father has a little bit of a problem. He's got a son who likes to sleep in the morning, and as a result of that, very often almost misses Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. So he comes up with a grand idea. What he'll do is, in the middle of the night, he'll sneak into the room and change the clock. So instead of 7 o'clock, he'll read 8 o'clock. The next morning, the son wakes up, looks at the clock, it's 9 o'clock! Jumps out of bed, rushes downstairs, says Kriyat Shema, obviously assuming maybe he's just about got it, and it's really 8 o'clock. Is that mutter to do? So the post can say, yes. Obviously, as long as nothing else like the Nagel Vassar trick over the face hasn't worked either. But they do point out, the one thing is, you've got to be careful that the son won't find out. Not just because of his reaction, it's also because otherwise you are being mechanich, your children, to lie. So it has to be done in such a way that the son would think, well, you know, there's, I don't know, been a blitz in his clock, or something happened which resulted in his clock jumping an hour forward. One last very pertinent shaila is, I'll just pick out one last one, is with shidduchim. Is one allowed to lie when it comes to shidduchim? Well, we see with Eliezer, number one. Eliezer in last week's Sedra, he changed the order because he thought, if you learn Rashi this way, he thought maybe they'd think he's so mad they wouldn't give Rivka over as a wife to Yitzchak. We also have a Gemara in Bava Basra that Eov used to, when there were Amonis, there were widows who people didn't want to marry, so he used to publicize that he was their relative, even though obviously he wasn't. And they said, Eov's their relative, now we're interested. But the post can say, obviously we've got to be extremely, extremely careful. One has to be extremely careful. There is a Gemara in Yevamos, the clearest source, where it talks about a case of an Eved, who had an Eved and a Bas Yisrael who produced a son, and the Gemara says the son is perfectly kosher. However, people didn't want to marry such a child. So Rav Yehuda, he advised them what they should do is they should go to a place where no one knows this child, as Rashi spells out there, because if they did know, they won't marry them. Won't marry this child. But, so the Kehillas Yaakov, the stipler, he declares, he says, maybe based on that, you see, it could be, he says, not Lamaisa, he says, he's not taking Achrayas for this, but he says, maybe, at least if it's not done verbally, to lead the other side to think that there's just to keep quiet, withhold the information. Information that if the Shidduch gets off the ground, if they find out later, they will not be makpid. But as things go, we know very often if they find out about it before the Shidduch gets off the ground, it's not a non-starter. He says maybe there would be a heta based on that Gemara. But he says he's not taking achrayis. It is well known, they do tell stories of various gedolim, a certain gadol who, because he was especially small, so on the first Shidduch meeting, they say he stuffed, I don't know how it particularly helped, but he stuffed his shoes with newspaper to give himself an extra, I don't know, extra few millimeters. So, you know, as they say, next time on a shidduch, check for the stilts. But perhaps more well-known, there's the Gemara about the Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie, the Masechta, the Puria, the Ushviza, that he's allowed to lie about what he's learnt, unless they actually, somebody's coming to him with a Shaila, which is, again, and he knows the answer, of course, then he has to answer it. But if it's just done, because of our novel, he's allowed to lie. There's the Puria about the middle of Tznius, if it's because he was a Baal Keri, that's why he didn't come to the Beis HaMedrash. The Gemara talks about that as well. This is all Mefurish in the Gemara and Bava Metzia. Based on the Rishonim, certain halachas has come out. Just one interesting case of Ushpiza is a person allowed to lie? The Meiri says, can a person lie? If you're a guest somewhere, you really are hungry, but you don't really want to eat from the you think it's like, you know, you don't want to be Matriach, the Balabayas. So you tell him, I'm full up already. I don't need any more food. So the Meiri says that comes under the heter of Ishbiza. It's perfectly fine to do that, says the Meiri. The last main area where there is a heter to lie, and that is, and this one has to be extremely careful about, is when it comes to saving oneself from a loss. So if it's outside of Beis Din, not inside Beis Din, outside of Beis Din, there's a Heter based on the Gemara in the Dorim. We don't have time to go through the Gemara. But based on the Gemara, it comes out the one's allowed to lie, again, if necessary, to save oneself from a monetary loss. A monetary loss, not to save oneself, not to, in order to gain a profit. To save yourself from losing money unfairly, one would be allowed to lie. But again, one's got to be extremely careful. But as I said, to gain, one's not allowed to do. Even if I'm not making anyone else lose out. There's a shayla in the Tzitz Eliezer, he's got a case there about amongst doctors. So a lot of them, they publish these study cases. And, you know, they get published in the medical journals. And through that, they get their publicity. So they wanted to know, could a doctor or researcher, could he make the study cases a little more interesting, make the figures a little more impressive? Because he knows through that the people much higher up, they read these medical journals, and through that you may end up getting a job offer. So no one else is going to lose out. Apparently we're talking about no one else will lose out. There's no sakona involved in it. Could one do that? And the Tzitz Eliezer says most definitely not. He goes through quite a lengthy teshuva and he says most definitely not. If you're doing it to gain, not to prevent a loss, there's no hetzer. Even if no one else is going to lose out. To save somebody from embarrassment, one's allowed to do that. Unless the person is actually a sinner, then let him be embarrassed, the Sefer Chassidim says. One very interesting shayla again is the Gemara Brachos, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. If you want to look there, there's much to be discussed there. Is if a Rav makes a mistake, he paskens, he says it's mutter, and it turns out it's osser. Is he allowed to say, in order to save himself from the embarrassment, to say, well, you know, when I said it was mutter, I was just saying that, you know, I heard that from, I don't know, Rabbi Yashiv said that. And he knows full well Rabbi Yashiv never said anything of the sort. Could one do that or could one not? Some say yes, some say one could not. To save himself from busha, all centers around that Gemara in Brachos. The last little point is, can one to exaggerate? Exaggeration is if everyone knows I'm exaggerating, that's mutar. There is people write when it comes to letters, you find the teshuvas they write lechoyt hagon at tzaddik moreinu v'rabbeinu, such all these titles which is way out of proportion. Again, they justify that based on the fact that everyone knows full well it doesn't really mean anything today. It's just done as a Derech Kovod. Although if you take a look at the Hakdamah to Shadis Shubas Rabbi Kivega, he's very, very against it. He says it leads to one of two things. Either it leads to Gaiva, if they're not really deserving of the titles. He says, or it leads to Sinas Chinon, because they say, I deserve more than that. So he says, you can't win. It's not worth getting involved. To end off with, we'll just end with one very shorter idea. The Gemara in Brachos tells the story of Rav Huna. Rav Huna, one time, his barrels went, he had 400 barrels which went vinegary. And to cut a relatively long story short, the Rabbanon came along and told him the reason is because you owe a certain amount to your worker, you haven't paid him up. So he said, but he owes me plenty more, I'm just taking back what belongs to me. So they said, Hainu Domrinshi, that's what people say, if you steal from a ganav, you're still tasting the taste of ganeva. It may be mutter, but it's still ganeva nonetheless. What's the lesson there? Why 400 barrels? I think the idea, just in short, is like this. Ephron, we know, lost his vov. He lost the vov from his name. Because the gematria of Ephron is 400. Without a vov, is 400. The idea being, because the Gemara says in Shabbos that the letter tov, 400 represents MS. But you can sometimes get an MS which goes wrong. And that was Ephraim. A man who portrayed himself as such an honest man, that's the Tov. But a Tov, when spelt fully, both on the outside and the inside, is actually Tov Vov. Or Tov Yud Vov. It's Tov with a Vov. Ephraim lost the Vov. Because just on the outside, he made that as if he's such an honest man, he lost that Vov. That Vov, the Yossi Tatakua, that's Vov HaChibur, the vov of credibility, of stability. That's the message they were telling Rav Huna as well. The 400 barrels went bad because, yes, you're right, strictly, according to the strict letter of the law, you've done nothing bad. But at your level, MS can go wrong. It can be 400 which has gone vinegary, it can go bad. The Gemara says, at the end of Makos, we know that the Shualim Hilchubai, that the foxes were coming out of the Kodesh Kodashim. Shual is also, without a Vov, is 400. With a Vov, if you take the Vov out, it's 400. The message is exactly the same. The Shu'al says, the fox says, if you look in Perek Shira, the Pasuk it says is, Hoy boina veso b'lo tzedek v'lo mishpat, something along those lines. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinuch, which the Chofetz Chaim says means Loshon Hara. And as we pointed out today, based on the Sefer HaChinuch and others, that the Yisod of Loshon Hara is Sheker. It's Sheker. The word Emes comes from Emenes, the Radak says, the expression of stability of Emunah. The message which was being conveyed there was Sinas Chinom, Sheker, Emes, whatever you want to say. There was a lack of Emes in the Beis HaMikdash, and as a result of that, without the foundations, the Beis HaMikdash collapsed. But as we know, Rabbi Akiva, in that story at the end of Makkos, he laughed because he said, once we've seen the Shu'alim there, once we've taken the message, we've got the opportunity to put the Vav back in its place, to replace it, using our koyach of She'eris Yisrael Yasu Avlo, to use our koyach of Emes, the middle of Yaakov, and Be'ezus Hashem, through that, to be Zeicher, to bring the Shekhinah back into the world, and to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt in our very speedily in the near future.